Turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we'll read 9 verses. If you don't have a Bible this morning, maybe you came with a guest. If they could share the Bible with you this morning, it's good to see God's Word. John chapter 5. If you found John, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Verses 1 through 9, I'll read the odd-numbered verses. If you'll join with me on reading the even-numbered verses, starting in John chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years.
When Jesus saw
him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And let's pray this morning. Father, how good it is, again, to open up your book this morning. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we are a needy people. We need you. We need the power, the presence to be here this morning. Holy Spirit, to move upon this place. Please bless the special. Prepare our hearts. Be with our preacher this morning as he's labored this week to prepare something for each and every one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
He paid the awful price. It was in the heart of God. It was in the heart of God.
Thank you, Charlotte. God bless you. I appreciate that this morning. I want to speak to you from John chapter 5, this passage, for just a little bit. On this subject, when the fountain of mercy visited the pool of mercy. This is a great story here in the first 9 verses of John chapter 5. And I want to talk about when the fountain of mercy visited the pool of mercy. There's a big difference in a fountain and a pool, isn't there? Big, big difference. So I want to talk about that for a little bit. What did I do here? Okay, very good. When the fountain of mercy visited the pool of mercy. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for what was in your heart as you created salvation's plan. I pray, Lord, that you'll now help me. I didn't know what Charlotte was going to sing about. But Lord, as you have laid this message on my heart, I pray it will fall on the ears of some this morning who need it. It will help us, God. It will encourage us. It will, in some cases, change our life as salvation is received. So do a good work, Lord, I pray. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. Now, following Jesus during his earthly ministry must have been a very interesting experience. I don't imagine there was ever really a dull moment. How many times did he encounter devil-possessed people? Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been an interesting experience. How many times did he encounter lost religious people who confronted him and accused him of blasphemy, denying his being the Son of God? Then how many times did Jesus stop to help some in the middle of the day? How many times did he stop to help some poor person in need? And by poor, I don't mean necessarily physically poor. I mean poor in heart, poor in soul, lost in a way, like a sheep wandering without a shepherd. How many times did Jesus stop to help some person like that? It would have been very interesting indeed. And we learn some of how interesting it must have been because of what is recorded for us in God's Word. Such a place was the Pool of Bethesda. It was an interesting place. And it was right there in the city of Jerusalem. And it was Bethesda means house of mercy. There's a very renowned hospital. I think it's is it Bethesda Naval Place? It's at Annapolis or Baltimore or somewhere out there. And it's a renowned naval hospital. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. So you've got this pool. It's called the Pool of Bethesda or Pool of Mercy. And around this pool, you have 5 porches and situated around the pool. And then on these porches, sick and afflicted people came for the chance to be healed from their infirmity. And they could do that because of a strange occurrence that took place every so often. You read about it in verse number 4. Look at it. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, this is an unusual thing. The angel would come and trouble the water, and then the first person who stepped into the water after it was troubled was made well, was cured of their disease. Now, people, listen. Don't ask me to explain all about this. I can't explain how all this took place. It was miraculous, and I believe we have a God who can do the miraculous. And you know what? I may not be able to explain all that happened there, but I certainly am not going to explain it away. And I'm not going to make people doubtful. I'm not going to attempt to humanize the divine, to make natural the supernatural. That's what false preachers do. That's what men who don't believe the Word of God do. They cast suspicion and doubt on the verity, the truthfulness of God's Word. All right? I preached Thursday night at the camp to the teenagers about the feeding of the 5,000. And I told them what I've told you before. It was a Sunday morning out in Iowa when a bus broke down, and I had to get in my car and go take care of the situation. I was never in my car at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but I was this day. And I thought, well, we'll see what's on the radio. So I turned the radio on, and I found a preacher. and he was from the Presbyterian Church in New York, and he was preaching about the feeding of the 5,000. And you know the Bible account, right? The little boy brings his lunch to Jesus, 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish. Jesus blesses it, he breaks it, and it begins to multiply. And with 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish, Jesus feeds about 15,000 to 18,000 people, maybe 20,000 people, with 12 baskets left over, 12 baskets that remain. And this guy is preaching about that miracle. And he says, now all the people were seated there in groups of 50, and the little boy came, and he had his lunch, and he so unselfishly gave it to Jesus. And all the people, when they saw the act of unselfishness by this little boy, they began to pull their lunches out from where they had them hidden, from their baskets and underneath their robes and these places. And they all began to share with each other. And as a result of all that sharing, everybody ate. Doesn't that sound sweet? Doesn't that sound touching? It's so false. It's so wrong. You know, come on, folks. It's easier for me to believe that Jesus took five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish and made enough to feed 18,000 people than it is to think that folks shared their lunch with somebody. I don't remember sharing my lunch with anybody growing up when I was in school. Heaven help us. You know, these idiots, in their attempt to explain away the miraculous, they make what they sound more unbelievable than what happened in the Bible. Now, I did a little research this week, and this was hilarious to me. Because some have tried to explain that this water, you know, that was troubled and that it healed people. They tried to explain that this is what happened, that, you know, they would bring animals to the temple to sacrifice. And so there was, you know, where the place where they offered the animals, they would take the entrails of the animals and wash them in this water that fed this pool of Bethesda, and that this washing of the entrails of the sacrificed animals gave the water some medicinal value, and whoever stepped in was healed of their disease because of the medicinal value that came as a result of washing the intestines of the sacrificed animals. It's easier and far more sense for me to believe that the angel came down and troubled the water, like the Bible says, than that somehow washing the intestines of animals provided medicinal value in a pool. Now, that's crazy. But that's what some of them wrote. You see, they're so bent on denying the Word of God, they end up looking like fools. Fools. Now, I can't explain how it all happened. But I got a Bible that says the angel came down and troubled the water, and the first person who stepped in was made well of their disease. That's good enough for me. I'm going to take it like that. Because I got a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think sometimes. He's a miraculous God. Don't try to dehumanize God. Don't take God, or humanize God, I should say. Don't take God, put Him in a little box. Okay? So anyway, it's at this pool that Jesus shows up. Now, I was reading this story, thinking about it a little bit this week. What a perfect place for Jesus to show up. Here at the pool of mercy was the one who would soon open a fountain of mercy. There's a big difference in a pool of mercy and a fountain of mercy. And the fountain of mercy that Jesus provided through His death, burial, and resurrection does far more for people than the pool of mercy did here in Jerusalem at the house of Bethesda. Now, folks, this is what's called, in some ways, a type. It is a picture. There are many types in the Old Testament. For instance, just for sake of time, I won't go into detail. You remember when the Israelites were going through the wilderness and they were complaining and murmuring about the lack of food and all this? And God sent those fiery serpents, the snakes, in, and they bit the people, and folks started dying. Remember that? And Moses went to God and said, Lord, what do I do? And God said, I want you to make a brass serpent, a figure of a snake out of brass, wrap it around a brass pole. I want you to lift that serpent on that pole up in the air, and whoever looks at that pole is going to be healed of their snake bite. If they've been bitten by the snake, they can get healing by looking at that serpent on the pole. Do you know, friend, that that was a picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that Jesus said that Himself? in John chapter 3 and verse number 14, he said these words, "Even as the as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You know what he was saying? That serpent that was lifted up in the Old Testament was a picture of my crucifixion. It was a picture of me going to the cross and dying there. So sometimes in the Bible there are types. Now, something you've got to know about types. A type is always partial. It's never a completely full picture, but it's close. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus Christ is soon to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. And He's going to rise again. And when He does that, He's going to open a fountain of mercy. A fountain of mercy. He visits this pool of mercy, which is a picture, a type of what He's going to provide when He goes to the cross. I mean, I don't know how much I can get this morning to you. I may have to just cut it off for sake of time. But let me show you some ways where this is a close picture of Jesus' crucifixion. First of all, I want you to see this. Jesus had to be troubled to open a fountain of mercy. Jesus had to be troubled to open a fountain of mercy. Now, I want you to look here when the Bible talks in this passage about the troubling of the water. Look at verse number 3. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered," watch it now, "waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water." You see all this reference? Look at the verse number 7. Jesus speaks to this man. He responds, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled." 3 or 4 times in the passage, God talks about the water being troubled. The water being troubled. The water being troubled. Now watch it, folks. There was no healing. There was no healing for anybody until the water was troubled. When the waters were calm, when the waters were placid, they had no medicinal value. But after they were troubled, oh, listen, after they were troubled, the first person in got healed of their disease. And I want to say to you and me this morning, in order for Jesus to open the fountain of mercy that cleanses and heals us from our sin, Jesus had to be troubled. He had to be troubled. Friend, one of the most cruel and awful ways to die in the Bible days, was by crucifixion. Crucifixion. Jesus could never have made salvation possible if He had died of old age. He never could have made salvation possible if He had died in some sudden accident. He never could have died of old age if he never would have made salvation possible if He had been killed by a sword or a spear or an arrow. No. Jesus had to die by way of shedding His blood. And the Bible says that He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was a cruel death, an awful death. They took the body of Jesus Christ and they nailed Him to an upright cross, nails through His hands and nails through His feet. And then they lifted that cross up in the air and set it down in that hole. And the body on the cross would sag down because of its weight and put pressure on the lungs and make it very difficult to breathe. And Jesus Christ had to lift Himself up putting pressure where His feet were nailed to the cross, putting pressure there and lifting Himself up to take a breath, to keep His life there on the cross. He was sapped of strength. He was bloodied. He was beaten. He had been smacked. He'd been slapped in the face. He had been spit on. His beard had been pulled out by the hands of the Roman soldiers. They had taken Him and put Him at the scourging post where they were lifted from the air. And the Roman soldier took the cat of nine tails, that long piece of leather that had 9 little pieces coming off of it. And at the end of each of those pieces had a piece of sharp animal bone or some other sharp object of metal or something. And they took that and they whipped the body of Jesus 39 times. 39 times those 9 pieces of glass or sharp bone or stone or something went into His body. And they jerk it off. 39 times that happened. And it just lacerated His body. Josephus said that several times when somebody would go to the scourging post, the scourge would rip off so much of the flesh of a man that his insides would fall out and he'd die at the scourging post. He would never get to the cross. I'd call that troubled. Somehow, some way, Jesus endured through all that. Somehow. Some way he endured all that. And then they put the cross on his back. He tried to carry the cross out to Mount Calvary, and he stumbled and fell under the load. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that his body was so marred, you couldn't even make out its, you couldn't tell if it was a human or an animal. That's how bad the body of Jesus Christ was. Beaten so horribly, beaten so awfully, torn and shredded, and they put that body on the cross with the nails. And there the blood flowed freely from his head, that crown of thorns that had been placed upon his head as they mocked him. And then the blood flowing from his face as they yanked the hair right out of his face with their hands. And then the blood flowing from his hands. And then the blood flowing from his feet. And eventually, after about 6 hours, he's able to lift himself up enough to say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the Bible says, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. No man took Jesus' life. He gave it. He gave it up. Now he's dead. Now he's hanging there. Lifeless body. But they're not done. The soldier comes along to make sure that Christ is dead. And instead of breaking his legs like they did for the two thieves on either side of Jesus, they took a spear and they thrust it up into his chest cavity. And it punctured his side and up into his chest cavity, the lung area. And the Bible says that blood and water came spilling out. I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus had to be troubled to open up a fountain of mercy that could forgive our sin and make us saved and make us born into the family of God. Jesus had to trouble himself. Oh, this pool had to be troubled by an angel in order for somebody to be healed. And I want to tell you something. It's a type, it's a picture of the fact that Jesus would have to be troubled as he went to the cross. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we have the Lord's Supper service. Jesus did not want us to forget the awful price he paid for our salvation. Blood flowed. Oh, the troubling of Jesus. The troubling of Christ on the cross of Calvary. May we never get too far away from it, that it doesn't move our hearts. And it ought to cause us to pause. And you know, preaching about that, it makes it a little bit quiet in here this morning. And that's good for us. We need to be mindful of how our Savior was troubled so that we could have mercy and be forgiven and be cleansed and washed. So there's a close picture here. Jesus had to be troubled in order to provide a fountain of mercy. There's another close picture here in this passage. I'll tell you this in verse number 4. And the close picture is this. Watch it. When that pool was troubled, look at verse number 4 and look at the wording of this verse. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Now, what's that next word in your Bible? Okay, all three of you responded. I mean, what's that next word? Whosoever. Then first, after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of. So whosoever was made well of whatsoever. Hey, friend. Whosoever was made well of whatsoever. Oh, that's a picture of the fountain of mercy that Jesus Christ opened on the cross of Calvary. Whosoever can be made well of whatsoever. Oh, friend, when that fountain that Jesus opened with His blood, when that fountain was opened, the invitation was, whosoever will may come and wash in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, be saved, have your sins forgiven. Whosoever can be made well of whatsoever. This means the drunken man can be saved. And this means the small little child who's never even seen a beer bottle can also be saved. The fallen woman can be saved. And the misguided gangbanger can be saved. And the moral religious man can be saved. And the gambling addict can be saved. And the lonesome wanderer can be saved. And the drug abuser can be saved. And the searching teenager can be saved. And the aged rejecter can be saved. The rebellious and wild. And the religious and mild. Whosoever can be saved from whatsoever. You know why? Because all of those things are not the root. All of those things are just a symptom. just a symptom. All of those things are just symptoms. They're not the root. The stealing, the drugs, the fallen immorality, the moral religiosity, all of those things are, that's not man's major problem. Man's major problem is sin. The bottom line is sin. And whosoever comes to be saved from their sin can be healed of whatever it is that's got your number, friend. And there are examples of that all over this room. There are former drug addicts who are clean today, not through some government program, but through the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary. Oh yeah. There's former alcoholics, drunks, cleaned up and sober today, not through Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's not the issue. The issue is sin in the heart of man. And you come to the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened with His blood on the cross of Calvary, and you get saved, and you can get victory over that alcohol, over that drunkenness. People that would live immoral lives live pure lives today. Clean lives today. It's for everybody. It's for whosoever needs to be healed or made well of whatsoever. I want to tell you something, friend. Whatever your issue is in life, it's got you so beat down, you can't get victory, and you think, you know, if I could just get victory over this one issue, if you've never been to the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary, that's where you start. You come to Jesus as a sinner, and because that's the only kind of people Jesus saves. He saves sinners. And you come to Christ as a sinner and you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the shed blood on the cross of Calvary that He gave for our sin debt. And you trust in Christ and He saves you and washes you and makes you clean. And you'll get victory over those things. Yes, you will. You get victory. There's people all over this room can testify about that. Yeah. Including this preacher who was at one time an unsaved hellion at age 16, 17, and 18. I'm ashamed of some of the things I was involved in, but oh my goodness, I'm not ashamed of the fountain of mercy that was opened on the cross of Calvary that can forgive sin and wash your sin away and make you whole. I'm saying this thing is a picture. It's a picture. It's a picture. The waters were troubled, and then somebody could be healed. It's a picture of the fact that Jesus had to be troubled to make salvation possible. And then whosoever could be healed of whatsoever. And that's a picture of Jesus' salvation. It's good for all people. It's good for everybody if you're willing to come to Christ. Now let me give you a couple of places where it's different. It's different from the salvation that Christ provided on the cross of Calvary. How is it different? All right, let me show you here. When the waters were troubled, only one person could be helped after the waters were troubled. Only one. And that's what this man said, told Jesus. I've been here 38 years. 38 years? Who's 38 years of age? Who is 38? Anybody in here 38? Ms. Woodman mentally is. You ladies back here at 38? Arch 38? That man had been laying by that pool of Bethesda for as long as you are old, Art. 38 years. And during those years, every time the water was troubled, he tried to get there, but he never was first. Imagine how that felt. Here's some sick person. Here's this man 38 years laying here. Here's some sick person next to him. Oh, look, the water is troubled. The angel has touched it. Here goes this mad dash to the water. This guy tries to crawl over and get close. He's got an infirmity, a sickness. He's sick. He's weak. He can't hardly crawl. Somebody else gets in there, first steps in the water. They're made well. He's left with his sickness till another troubling. That's awful. That's awful. Listen, the fountain that Jesus opened is good for as many as want to come to it. It's good. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ has as much saving and helping power for you and me today as it did for those who lived 100 years ago? And I don't know how long we're going to be left here on this earth. I don't know how much longer Jesus is going to stay in heaven. But you know what the good news is, friend? As long as there are people on this earth who need to be saved, the fountain that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary will be sufficient for them to get saved. It's not just for one person. It's for as many who will freely come. If it's one person, like it was by the well in Samaria in John chapter 4, or if it was 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, it doesn't matter if it's one or 10,000 people. as many as come to Jesus get made well. It's still good. As many. And then this. The healing was only available at a certain season. Right? They had to wait for, that's what verse number 4 says. An angel went down at a certain season. So it's only good for a certain season. So that means they had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. I guess every day people were checking the water. Every day people are checking the water. Is it troubled? No, not troubled today. Tomorrow, is it troubled? No. Next week? No. And just every so often it was troubled. So it only had medicinal value at a certain season. The fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary is good any time, day or night. January through December, Sunday through Saturday, 24/7, it's open season all the time for the blood of Jesus Christ to save people and make them whole. All the time. In fact, it's open this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. It's open today. I'm telling you what, I'm glad it was opened on a Wednesday night almost 40 years ago in a little church in Graysville, Tennessee, about 8:30 p.m. after the Wednesday night service, when this old boy who was 18 years of age got up out of that seat where Brother John is sitting, third row back. Raise your hand, Brother John. Raise your hand. I was sitting three rows back on the end of the aisle. And when the invitation was given, I walked forward as an 18-year-old wannabe hippie, all messed up and full of rebellion and sin. And I came to the cross of Christ and was born again. Wednesday night at 8:30. When was the fountain open for you? You can stand up and give testimony. Some of you can stand up and give testimony. It was at church on a Sunday morning. It was at church on a Sunday night. It was at my house around the kitchen table. It was with a relative or a friend. It was somebody at work at the lunch table at 12 o'clock noon who sat there and showed me from the Bible how to be saved. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And the fountain of mercy was open at noon, open at 2, at 4, at 6, at 8, at 10, at midnight. Every day, all the time, the fountain of mercy is open for anybody who wants to be saved. Not just a certain season. All the time. Anytime the Holy Spirit comes along by your heart and pricks your heart and says, you know what? You've tried this and you've tried that and you've tried this and you've tried that, but you have never been born into God's family by a work of the Holy Spirit of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit says, that's what you need, it's open season. Open season. And you come and be saved. Now, I preached this morning basically a salvation message. Aren't you glad that that Jesus opened a fountain of mercy on the cross of Calvary? Oh, He had to be troubled to do it, friend. Oh, my goodness. But when He opened that fountain of mercy, after all that trouble He went through, whosoever can come and be made well of whatsoever. And not just one person, as many as want to come, and not just a certain season, anytime. Now is the day of salvation. When the fountain of mercy visited the pool of mercy. There are some similarities. There are some differences. I'm thankful for the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened when He died on the cross. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to think carefully with me for just a moment, if you would, please. Just think carefully with me for just a moment, okay? The ladies are going to come to the instruments and play a song in just a moment. But I want you to think with me just for a moment. Have you been to the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary? Have you been there? I don't mean have you been to Jerusalem. Have you been by faith to Jesus to trust Him as your personal Savior? Now think about that question. Didn't ask if you've been baptized. Didn't ask if you've been raised in church. didn't ask if you've been good, if you've been trying to do the best you can. Have you been to the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on the cross of Calvary? Oh, He went through a lot to open it. He was really troubled, beaten and butchered and died, so that whosoever could be made well of whatsoever, but it's all sin, and it's for everybody at any time. Is the Spirit of God speaking to you this morning? Now, I want you to be honest before God today. Honest before God. Pastor, there's a time in my life I can look back, like you can look back on a time in your life, Pastor, where I know, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and the fountain of mercy washed my sin away. I know that. If that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up quietly? Just be honest. Just be honest. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there somebody here today who would say, Pastor Angel, I didn't lift my hand just now because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I don't know if I've ever visited the fountain of mercy that Jesus opened on Calvary by faith. I'm not sure I've ever visited. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that I have eternal life. I've been trying all sorts of things to help me out, this and that and that and this, but I don't know that I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, Pastor, but I'll raise it now because I'll be honest with you and God. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up just for a moment? Take it right back down just long enough for me to see it. Just let me see it just for a moment. Anybody? Side to side, front to back. Anybody, member or visitor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Well, friend, if you're too nervous about raising your hand, I'm not trying to make you a Baptist or get anything out of you. I'm trying to help you this morning to know that Jesus Christ loved you enough to die on the cross, shed His blood to make salvation possible. And if you don't know that you're saved and the Spirit of God is speaking to you, now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. You come and give your heart to Christ. We have men that can show men and boys how to be saved. We have ladies that can show men, women and girls how to be saved. Men talking to men, ladies talking to ladies. We can show you from the Bible. You can visit the fountain of mercy and trust Christ and know that you're saved and know it. And have your sins forgiven and be made whole spiritually. You can have that today. Maybe you're here today, you've already been saved but not baptized. You can come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism in obedience to Christ. Or join the church or talk to us about a time to come talk to you about joining the church, whatever your need is. This morning, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for the Lord Jesus who opened up a fountain of mercy and, Lord, made it possible for us to be saved. And Jesus, thank You for the troubling You went through to make salvation possible. And thank You for washing our sins away through the shed blood of the sacrifice You made. And Father, I pray for anybody here in the room today who's not sure that they're saved. Lord, I don't know. I couldn't see every person, but I think there were some who didn't raise their hand. They don't know that they're saved. Spirit of God, work on that heart and draw them to Christ and help them to see the need of salvation and how much the Lord Jesus loves them. And Lord, thank You for making salvation possible. I thank You in Your name, Lord Jesus. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, as we stand. I'm going to ask the ladies to play. If you've been sitting there thinking about this and you know you're not saved this morning, why don't you step out, let one of these men know that you want to be saved, and talk. They'll have somebody talk to you about Christ, about salvation, about how to know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, spend eternity with the Lord. Would you do that this morning while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're waiting? Would you come? Let somebody talk to you about the Lord Jesus. Not sure why the Lord put this message on my heart for this morning, but He did. And I know as much as I'm standing here. Maybe somebody today is the day of your salvation. You're thinking about it. We'll wait for you. Would you come? Not going to make you a Baptist. That's not our intention. Not going to make you a church member. Want you to be saved. To know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Your sins forgiven. Would you come today and trust Christ? You think about it. You obey the Lord as God speaks to your heart. With our heads bowed and our eyes are closed.